Pass subscribers to the January 18th, 2005 edition of TSL Audio. Today's guest is Steve Phillips of the High Point Enterprise in North Carolina. Is that correct, Steve?
That's correct.
All right. We're here to talk today about the upcoming game between NC State and Virginia Tech. We're going to get a read off of Steve about NC State's season, some of the key players, and some of the key matchups for the game. So, Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Let's start out with a review of NC State's season. The Wolfpack, I think, you know, we'll get to this in just a second. I think they came in with some fairly high expectations, even though the league was going to be tough. And they came in, started out 10-1, and then lost four games in a row. And some of those were tough losses, a little tough losses to take. Got spanked pretty severely by St. John's by 18 points. That's a team that beat the Hokies, so we know what that's all about. Lost the first loss of the year was to Washington, and home loss to West Virginia by 13 points, lost to Miami, which, you know, at this point in time really doesn't look that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then a fairly tough game with Duke, lost by 12 to Duke, and then finally got things on track, I guess this past Saturday or Sunday, with a victory over Georgia Tech. So, you know, tell me a little bit about NC State's expectations coming into the season, and would you say at this point that the season has been a bit of a disappointment?
I think, just from the outside looking in from my standpoint, it might be somewhat what I expected. From their expectations, I think it has been a disappointment. I think they set their expectations high. Coach Sendek finally got it going about 3 years ago, took them to three straight NCAA tournaments. Then Julius Hodge coming back, who was voted player of the year in the ACC last year, even though Chris Paul was preseason player of the year this year, they felt like they may have had the best player in the league and may still have the best one. But there were some other weaknesses there. They seemed a little thin inside, and that was a question that had to be answered. So preseason, I actually picked them seventh in the league. But overall, they were picked fifth, and if you finish fifth in this league, that gets you in the NCAA tournament. So I'd say their expectations were high going in and are still high, I'd say.
Yeah, it seemed like they had a pretty good mix of, with Hodge coming back, and I think they expected certain things from Evtemov, and also they had Tony Bethel transfer from Georgetown, who became eligible this season, correct?
Right, and I think that's a good point. You mentioned those two as being key elements. Evtemov had a knee problem at the start of the season, although he's been able to play in all 18 games now. He had to come back from that a little bit. Then Bethel got sick right before Christmas, and he's been a non-factor. He tried to play through the sickness a couple of games, and he hasn't played since the first of the year. They're trying to get him better. And so those two players have been missing some while they struggled, especially Bethel. He's been missing altogether, and that's been one thing that's hurt them.
And Bethel is a guy, he plays point guard, and they were the guy that they were expecting him to step in and take that position over, correct?
Yes. The way they run their offense, they don't have a true point guard, that both he and Engin Assur and even Hodge will assume kind of the point guard role. But if you had to try to pinpoint him into positions, Bethel would be the closest thing maybe to point guard that you'd have there. He was leaving him an assist, I believe, at the time that he was injured or got sick, and so they have been missing that.
So what's Bethel's status at this point?
He was hoping to return to practice some this week. He got down with the flu right before Christmas. Then he couldn't get better. He still tried to play through it. Then it was diagnosed, as I understand, as colitis, which really put him down. And then that led in some inflammation of the joints. And it's been one thing after another. For a while, he was having to walk with on crutches just because his joints were sore. And he was having trouble moving. So one thing led to another, and they've been trying to get him healthy. And as of yesterday, the Coach Sendek said he's still, his status hadn't changed, which I would assume to mean he's not going to play tomorrow night.
Yeah, that was my next question, is he going to play? So what's Evtemov's status? And is it accurate to say that he's one of their key three-point threats? I mean, you know, give us his status health-wise and tell us what role he plays on the team.
He seems to be moving pretty good now. I mean, I don't know if he'd even tell you the knee would be a problem at this point. I think he's averaging about 26 minutes a game. He's played in all of their games, all 16 of them, and he's averaging, you know, 26 minutes in those, usually starts, well, actually rotates in, but I think of him as a starter. He's only started four games. He's usually the first guy off the bench, and he's usually in there at the end. He's starting to get it going for three-point range now. He's only shooting 33%, but a big one Sunday. Georgia Tech, if you saw the game, had a 15-point lead, had cut it down to three. They needed somebody. They threw it back out to him. When he's open, he's still confident, and he didn't hesitate. And that was a big three-pointer he hit. There were just over 2 minutes to go to put him up six, and that kind of righted the ship, so to speak, because that one looked like it was about to slip away.
Yeah, and he's a junior, so he's a guy that you expect, you know, at this point in his career to start making some of those important plays for him.
Mm-hmm.
This is the top three-point shooter on the team.
He would be one of the top threats. In terms of percentage, though, you've got to watch Engin Assur. He can always get it going. He's shooting 35%, I think, now. Hodge can shoot from three-point range. although he hasn't, you know, so far. He'd like to get a stroke going, but he's, you know, always a threat to go from there. And Cameron Benerman's the guy who's really come on now. He's starting to play well, starting to lead them in scoring. He's the top 3-point in terms of percentage, 43%, 43.5% now. And he heated it up a little bit the last few weeks and led him in scoring, I think, against Duke and in another game recently. So 24-20, I think, in his last two games before Georgia Tech.
And to fill the listeners in, Benerman is a 6'4 junior guard slash forward, second leading scorer at about 10.7 points per game.
Right.
And the leading guy, of course, is Julius Hodge. Now, Hokie fans are familiar with guys like Julius Hodge. Hodge leads the team in points per game at 18.1, leads in rebounds per game at 7.3, and also leads them in assists with 67 total. And, you know, we had a player like that at Virginia Tech last year, a guy named Bryant Matthews, who led the team in every meaningful statistic, and including was a leader of the team. So tell us what style of player Hodge is, and we'll get to how do you try to stop him in a second, but what style of player is he?
Hodge is versatile. He's got a pretty good medium-range shot, will take a three if he's got it. He loves to slash and go to the basket and try to create. He was frustrated after the St. John's game that they lost, which if anybody saw that was about the low point of several seasons there, and said that he might have to get more selfish, that he may have to take more charge, do more things offensively. But I think everybody that knew him and had watched him play for 3 years thought he was generally just speaking out of frustration. It was hard for him to picture him doing that. He's the one who likes to create. He loves to penetrate and then try to kick it back out. And that's where they're kind of dangerous, if they can get the three-point shot going. But Hodge will go to the basket, draw people, and then kick it back out. That's one of the strengths. And Coach Sendek says that he thinks his strength is the way he tries to make his teammates better. And then additionally, the points just come to him, too. He gets to the foul line. He hit 12 straight Sunday, and the longest points will come that way. He's starting to hit free throws again. That was the problem for him earlier.
Yeah, he had a real interesting line against Georgia Tech. If I've got my numbers correct, he only made one field goal out of about 8 or 9 shots. But as you said, it was 12 or 14 from the free throw line. And you know, the game was at a time of day where I really couldn't sit and watch because, you know, I had family responsibilities and things like that. But I did turn it on for a second, saw him with a nice drive to the basket, and thought, boy, that kid's a player, and turned it back off. And lo and behold, I saw his only free field goal of the game.
Wow, good timing.
So he's a 6'7", 205 guy, so not a real burly guy. Sounds like more of a slasher. And I'm guessing he gets a lot of those 7.3 rebounds a game off of just effort and instinct.
He does, yeah. He's got a good nose for the ball. He'll scrap inside, and, you know, he's got good leaping ability. He's a good athlete. And just kind of, you know, will clean up. He's not a garbage man in the truest sense of the word, but he'll play that role if he has to.
Yeah, and, you know, talking about maybe taking more of the scoring role on himself, as you indicated, he's probably just speaking out of frustration, because that's not really NC State's style of play, correct?
No, that's very correct. They really distribute it. You know, they try to run. It's not exactly a Princeton-style offense, but a lot of motion, try to get the three-point shooters open. They'll look for that, and they like to have different guys who can do that and have multi-threats that way. And yes, I would be astounded if I ever saw a game where he was just, you know, going for 25 or 30 shots, taking it on himself to do that. I haven't seen that yet, I don't think. So.
Yeah, you know, for Hokie fans that aren't real familiar with the ACC, you know, even those of us who haven't followed ACC basketball until this year, we've definitely heard his name. So I think we probably expect to tune in and see a guy who's going to bomb away, but sounds like that's not really his game.
No, not at all.
So tell me about some of the strengths and weaknesses of NC State's team. You know, let's get into some of the matchups, because I know where Virginia Tech is strong and I know where they're weak. And, you know, tell me where NC State's strong and where they're weak and what their style of play is.
I think they're strong in that they do have multiple threats from the perimeter. If they can get the motion offense going, the shots are falling. You have Hodge, you have Estimov, you have Atsor, and you have Benerman, all lots of guys who will shoot it and aren't scared to shoot it from the perimeter and have decent range. They've got a freshman, Andrew Brackman, who's starting to get in the mix, gives them a little bit of size. He's been kind of the surprise guy for them, 6'10", and I thought that was where weakness was going to be. And it still may be over the long haul. Jordan Collins was a senior center. He was a 6'10". He had not really produced up until this year. He's starting to give them a little bit of something. But overall, I'd say the inside play would be the question mark. The perimeter shooting, kind of man up with defense. They have played pretty steady defense. Engin Assur did a good job on J.J. Redick in the Duke game. I think had Redick to 1 for 6 on field goals. Even though they lost that game, that's about as good as you can hope for as far as the defensive effort goes. And that's kind of things they pride themselves on doing. They call themselves the blue-collar guys, take the lunch pail to work, that kind of thing, just kind of working hard and just trying to piece it together.
Yeah, it sounds like that they're in some ways are a similar team to Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech doesn't have a real strong inside presence either. Let's get to the key matchup down inside, because one of the things against Clemson was Clemson, of course, had Sherrod Ford, senior center, playing for them, and he tore into Virginia Tech pretty good early in the game before he picked up his second and third fouls. And the matchup between Ford and sophomore Coleman Collins for Virginia Tech became the key matchup, and Collins was able to pretty much shut Ford down, relatively speaking, in the second half. You know, who's NC State's key player inside? And let's talk about bulk. How tall, how big, you know, what do you think the matchup there is going to be?
The starter, the biggest guy in there will be Jordan Collins, probably, who's 6'10", about 240. And if they can keep him in the game, keep him out of foul trouble, he gives them a defensive presence. He doesn't always provide as much offensively, although even he has been stepping out and shooting threes. This year, he's kind of developed more of an offensive game. And then Brackman, the freshman, has been a surprise for me, even though he's thin. He's just, I think, 205.
Yeah.
He's another 6'10 body they can put in there. There are other recruits that want to get in. The freshman, Cedric Simmons, who has not played as much as, at least I thought he would. He was one of the top players in our state last year and one of the leading players in their recruiting class. He's about 6'9", about 220. And he'll also play maybe some tomorrow night, but I would look for those two guys mainly as the two big guys, and also Eftimaz. He's a 6'8" guy that'll play inside for them also.
Yeah, to run down for Tech fans, Collins is a senior, 6'10", 240, averages about 20 minutes a game, 7 points, and 3 rebounds. And then you got into Brackman, 6'10", 205, freshman, and Simmons, 6'10". 240, wait a minute, 6'9", 220, like you said, freshman. So it sounds like you got a pretty big senior there who plays maybe half the game, is not known as a big scorer, and you got a couple of freshmen who are tall but kind of light at this point, guys who average 19 and 8 minutes a game, respectively, and 8.5 and 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
And in Eftimov, you know, I didn't know this, what little bit I've seen of him. He's listed at 230, so that's a good-sized guy.
Yeah, he's bulked up, you know, pretty, gone to the weight room. He's, you know, pretty built. He's a pretty good solid 230, too. So he can be a force on the boards, although offensively he will play out on the perimeter a lot.
Yeah, one of the things that happened against Clemson and Virginia Tech Clemson was that it wasn't so much the matchup between Ford and Coleman Collins, you know, that wound up kind of being a draw in the end, I think, but it was a secondary matchup. Clemson had a couple of bigger guys they could throw in. Akingbala, I think, went about 240, so they caused VT some trouble there, and what Virginia Tech did to cancel that out was they spread the floor a little bit more in the second half and let their guards kind of take more control of the game, because Virginia Tech's guards are no doubt the strength of their team,
mm-hmm.
So we might see something similar in that respect, although, you know, once you get beyond Collins and maybe to some extent Eftimov, NC State doesn't appear to have the sheer bulk that some teams have. So should be an interesting matchup to go down some of the key stats. I think a key stat here, you know, when you talk about the Hokies, Steve, one of the key stats is turnover margin. Virginia Tech is first in the ACC with a plus 7.9 turnover margin.
Mm-hmm.
And NC State, interestingly enough, is second with a plus 4.3.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they're second in the league, they're running about 3.5 a game behind the Hokies in turnover margin. So that's a key stat right there. And,
yeah, it could be.
Going over some other stats, free throw shooting, you know, roughly equal. NC State's a little bit better from the line. 3-point shooting, they're a couple of percentage points better. You know, rebounds per game, NC State is 10th in the league at 35.1, and the Hokies are 11th at 32.5. So in a lot of ways, this looks like a pretty even matchup in some respects, although, you know, I think the thing you got to look out for is Hodge being a senior and being able to take charge down the stretch. You know, let's not try to draw conclusions off of one game, but what's your feel after watching what they did against Georgia Tech? You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I read somewhere that NC State is known for maybe floundering around a little bit early in the season and then picking up steam as the season goes on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's your feel for where they are right now? Do you think they're getting ready to turn the corner?
I think maybe it's possible. I think it's the time they need to. I thought Sunday was close to a must game. Starting out 0-2, I don't know if anyone was overly shocked they had lost to Duke, but the Miami game was a killer, and they had beaten Duke at home the previous 2 years, so they were hopeful. Then to start out 0-2, with Georgia Tech sitting there on the schedule, and then, you know, still knowing you had two games down the road against both Wake Forest and Carolina, you know, people are looking, you know, is this 7-8 losses that we can find right here? There's almost a sense of desperation going into the Tech game. And to get that win really helped them a lot. I think there's a feeling now if they can win Wednesday, start treading water again, get Bethel back, get everything back into the flow, you know, they can back and, you know, get it back on keel going into February.
Yeah, you know, now you ACC guys, you guys have been covering the ACC for years. I got a little bone to pick with you guys. You have a habit of saying Tech.
Okay.
Referring to Georgia Tech. I read Dave Glenn's ACC Area Sports Journal all the time. I find myself in the middle of articles and they're saying Tech, 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 Tech. And where I come from, when you say Tech, you're talking about Virginia Tech.
That's right. And I'm about to get used to that. And my editor has pointed out that to me a few times on second references too.
Yeah, so you guys might want to start saying GT. GT. Or we're spelling it all the way out.
GT. All right.
You know, one last question for you. How do you feel about the focus and the leadership of NC State? And the reason I ask that question, Steve, is that they need to be careful that they don't come into Castle Coliseum and assume a win and not play full speed. I mean, do they have the proper coaching and player leadership to not come into Castle Coliseum and lay an egg?
I think they have the proper coaching, player leadership. Sometimes it's questionable. I say that because I'm not as a slam on any of our Hodge or any other player, just that last year I went down to Clemson and watched them lay an egg down there. Miami game, as you say, doesn't look as bad, but I think people thought they could sense got ambushed in that one. I have seen on occasion that happen to them, but if they've learned from that, they possibly hadn't, maybe because of the way their season has started and the fact they haven't won as much lately, their guard will be up tomorrow night. But I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility of that happening, but I'd be kind of surprised just because of all they've gone through lately that they wouldn't come in there ready to play, because they certainly need a win.
Yeah, and they've had a little bit of a warning shot fired across their bow because Virginia Tech has won a game. You know, granted it was Clemson, but they have won a game. They've proven that they can win in the ACC, and you need to come ready to play. The Clemson game last Saturday had about 6,000 people at it, maybe 6,500. Not sure what the attendance is going to be Wednesday because it's awfully cold around here. And, you know, you got to realize the fragile state of mind of your typical Virginia Tech basketball fan these days. They've been so bad for so long that when you talk about the Virginia Tech football fan versus the Virginia Tech basketball fan, they're two completely different animals. The basketball fans are still, you know, they're kind of in a show-me state. You know, that you can't get them to show up and go nuts just because you won one game. They're going to need to see success over an extended period of time because they've been disappointed so much lately. So my guess is you're going to see, you know, the students are finally back for VT. My guess is you're going to see 5,000 to 7,000 fans there Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Castle Coliseum, which is a 10,000-seat arena, once you start getting up above 4,000 people, it gets pretty loud. It's not a place where noise gets lost. Any noise that is made goes straight down to the floor. So, you know, if Hokies can turn out 5,000 to 7,000 fans and be competitive, the crowd will be a factor late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so appreciate you being on, Steve. And,
thank you.
Good luck to you. Thanks for doing the interview.
I appreciate it.
And, folks, that'll do it for this edition of TSL Audio. Thanks for listening.